in the Eye. Setting: two men in revolutionary militia outfits, one with a sword and another with a musket. The musket man is aiming down the barrel with a grim expression on his face, while the sword-bearing man, towering over the musket man, waves the sword in the air, open mouth, as if yelling. Both are glaring toward an invisible enemy approaching their front. June 17, 1775, on Breed's Hill outside Boston, Massachusetts. Jacob Higbee is a farmer from Middletown, Connecticut, a small village on the banks of the Connecticut River. After a tumultuous 2 months of serving in the militia, he finds himself behind an improvised breastwork he spent 5 hours creating during the previous evening and early morning hours. His piercing gray eyes peer down the 57 steel inches of his musket toward an approaching enemy, which only 2 months previously had been the symbol of law and order. He did not know his foe, and certainly had no personal grudge against any of the soldiers slowly marching up the slope in front of him. But events have brought him to this unlikely place that would forever bear the name of slaughter. Last April, Jacob had peacefully been plowing his lower 5-acre field on the outskirts of his small, quaint village of Middletown, when news arrived of armed rebellion in the neighboring colony of Massachusetts. Jacob had little concern for political unrest in the growing urban metropolis of Boston. Riots had been part of urban life since the end of the French-Indian War, as there were too few jobs in the fisheries and shipyards. Many had been unemployed and resorted to charity, and, more often, begging. Some rabble had organized marches and protests that were little more than unarmed mobs, yet the tolerance of the authorities had been tested. When the appointed governor in Boston ordered the arrest of key members of a gang calling itself the Sons of Liberty, many had hidden. Some had left town to go to the outlying villages where more people were self-supporting. That resulted in the king's forces marching into the countryside to find the troublemakers. That was in April, and the country folk had put up resistance. 8 had been killed on Lexington Green that fateful day, and later many had taken part in driving the lobster backs from the countryside as they retreated down the road toward Boston. Jacob had not participated in the confrontations at Lexington, Concord, or along the chase back to Boston. He was, though, called to the militia in Middletown by the end of that fateful week. The captain had given a fanciful speech about protecting our homes and securing our freedoms, and that we must go to the aid of Massachusetts to achieve that goal. Jacob had never been to Massachusetts save for one hunting trip when he was 15. Besides, he felt that he could only leave his fields for a brief time, as he had only just begun to plow and hoped to plant earlier than usual. But as a member of the militia, he was ordered to join the company on the march to Boston. He had arrived about a week ago, finding a mob of militia surrounding the city on the hills, with seemingly no one in command and lacking any plan. Then, last night, his company was ordered to this hill to begin the construction of a small fort. As the sun's light warmed the air, Jacob saw that many ships had transported the redcoats across the river, and they were preparing to charge the hill. Though Jacob had experience with his musket, he had no experience in killing men. As the disciplined British troops steadily marched up the hill, all with bayonets gleaming with the sun's rays, Jacob glanced around, wondering what this hastily thrown together group of militia could do against professional soldiers. He noticed that few of his company had bayonets fixed, as they had few in their possession. He also knew that he had only 5 rounds of ammunition in his cartridge box, as the company had practiced with targets when they first arrived in camp. How could he and his neighbors fire upon the advancing troops? And if he did, he was not sure that it was the right thing to do. Above him he heard an officer yelling and screaming, but Jacob's eyes were transfixed only on those bayonets, 2-foot-long spears affixed to the ends of the enemy's muskets. Fear seemed to grip him. Beads of sweat poured down his face, stinging his eyes. As the British approached, they stopped and fired a volley which shook the entire hillside. Most of the bullets flew too high. The men in his company were steadfast, save a few who turned and vomited, no doubt from anxiety. Another volley, and only a few militia returned fire. High again. Why, thought Jacob, did his officer delay an order to fire? What were they waiting for? The British advanced, the bayonet sharply defined against the broad hats of the regulars. They were distinctly visible now. The troops advanced now, 50 yards away, 30 yards away, 20 yards away. There was an eerie silence as the enemy approached. Jacob could plainly see the faces of his foe. One was a young boy of 19 years. His hat was slightly askew. His regimental jacket had come unbuttoned, and he was out of step with the rest of the approaching men. A sad thought went through Jacob's mind. I am about to kill a boy, only a few years my junior. He could hardly have taken to shaving the fuzz that would soon become whiskers. I can plainly see the color of his eyes. They are blue. A child's blue. Historical notes and teaching tips. A highly emotionally packed story, In the Eye, describes the greatest instant of fear and the moment of ultimate truth for soldiers. Can they kill? Set at the momentous battle outside Boston on Breed's Hill, also referred to as the Battle of Bunker Hill, during the opening months of the Revolutionary War, the story reflects the struggles faced by many rudely trained militias that were the mainstay of most America's fledgling army. From the shoddy and nearly leaderless organization of the Americans besieging Boston in 1775, to the grim determination to avoid fear, our Jacob Higbee, based loosely on my wife's ancestor, faces his duty without heroics. The battle itself would prove to be one of the defining moments of the Revolution, a time when common citizenry, for the first time, stood in defiance against a far superior professional army. Though the American lines withstood only for a short while, the resulting slaughter convinced the British leadership of America's resolve for resistance. Inspired by the famous quote, "Don't fire till you see the whites of their eyes," In the Eye is an intense and emotional cry for duty and patriotism of the common man.